Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 632nd edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. Get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Beyond the 90 at beyondthe90.substack.com and locally on the New York Red Bulls at now ajmsportsfc.com. Red Bull News Network has been meshed with Anthony Merced's new sports website. Of course, listen to me on the podcast as well at ajmsportsfc.com. It's more than just the New York Red Bulls. It's also Gotham of the NWSL and New York City FC of MLS as well. So, and other news on American soccer, too. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer to the best of my abilities. Now, on these next 2 weeks coming up in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, the Columbus Crew, the lone Major League Soccer side, battling it out against Monterrey. And that means it's going to be a hot and heavy contest. So the schedule right now for these games, if you want to see the All Liga MX matchup between Pachuca and Club America, it'll be the first leg at the Estadio Azteca on Tuesday, April the 23rd at 10:15 p.m. Eastern, 7:15 p.m. Pacific. And then the second leg will be at the Estadio Hidalgo, and that will be on Tuesday, April 30th, at Pachuca, at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, 6:15 p.m. Pacific. But for the Columbus Crew taking on Monterrey, the first leg will be on Wednesday, April the 24th, at Lower.com Field, at 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 Pacific, and the second leg returning to the Estadio BBVA, that will be at 10:15 Eastern, 7:15 p.m. Pacific. And that, my friends, is going to be a huge, big matchup. Can the Columbus Crew perform twice, big time, against a very, very tough side in Monterrey? We hope so. And maybe they do go to the final. We'll have to wait and see. But trust me, it will not be a picnic. It will not be easy. Monterrey will be ready and prepared, and they will be ready to go. But this week, as we all know, it's Open Cup week across America. We were supposed to have three quarters of the MLS clubs in the United States playing in the Open Cup in the third round. As you all know, that's not happening. And why is that? Because of what MLS contains or contends, that the Open Cup does not mean much. Fixture congestion. And they believe that the clubs that represent MLS Next Pro should be taking their place. Why? Because once again, Major League Soccer has no control over U.S. soccer marketing properties, nor their marketing rights. And so they came in and said, no, U.S. soccer originally made a stop to it, and then MLS kept pestering and pestering, delay, 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 until they forced U.S. soccer into a corner. And once again, Major League Soccer has said, fixture congestion. When we all know for a fact they created the fixture congestion, adding another round of games of playoffs and adding the League's Cup. And all you can really say is, out of the 9 American MLS clubs who qualified for the CONCACAF Champions Cup, none of them, with the exception of the Houston Dynamo, because they won the Open Cup last year, are going to be not performing in the Open Cup. That means Orlando City, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Columbus, Nashville, Miami, New England. Once again, and Cincinnati. Only Houston will be playing in the Open Cup because they are the defending U.S. Open Cup champions. And now, when you take a look at the Champions Cup, as we've already said, who's left? And once again, those clubs are from the U.S. Philadelphia Union, New England Revolution, Houston Dynamo, St. Louis City, Orlando City, FC Cincinnati, Nashville FC, Columbus, and Inter Miami. Even though the Dynamo are going to be defending their Open Cup championship, only the Columbus Crew, from the first round all the way to the semifinals, 8 of those 9 clubs are gone. And if some of you are curious to know about, well, what does that mean? Very simply put is this. The Open Cup schedule, my friends, the Open Cup schedule. Once again, if we take a look at where these clubs are going to start, as we all know, the first round was on Tuesday, March 19th through Thursday, March 21st. The second round, which was played between April 2nd and April 3rd. Tomorrow is the 16th, and Wednesday the 17th is the third round. Well then, May 7th and May 8th is the round of 32 in the quarterfinals, or should I say the round of 16, will be May 21st and May 22nd. Because the final match of the Champions Cup is on Sunday, June the 2nd. So what does that mean, basically? What does that tell you from Major League Soccer, what they're trying to do? Only 8 clubs, mostly from the Western Conference, and the only Eastern Conference is Atlanta United, basically, it's a sham. It is just a sham. It is disgusting. It is just a poor means of an excuse by Major League Soccer, Commissioner Don Garber, and his top executive in Nelson Rodriguez, to basically say the Open Cup is not worth their time because they don't control it. And even if they were still going to control the marketing rights of U.S. soccer, they were still going to suppress the Open Cup. They did this. MLS did it under Soccer United Marketing. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. So whatever excuses Major League Soccer is going to use, regardless if the Columbus Crew are still in it, they are not going to be interfering with Open Cup at all, either in this round or in the other rounds in May or in April, because the Columbus Crew are going to have to play if they defeat Monterrey on Sunday night, June 2nd. If they do defeat Monterrey. Once again, where's the excuses? Nowhere. And why? I'll tell you why. Because this is not about fixture congestion, ladies and gentlemen. This is about Major League Soccer trying to control the game. and trying to remove all control away from U.S. soccer, which they have done with the help of Sunil Gulati. Now you have Cindy Parlow-Cohn as the Madam President, the Chief Executive Officer, J.T. Batson. Those two are going to have to come up with a concrete plan to inform one of their members of the U.S. Soccer Board of Governors and Commissioner of Major League Soccer, Don Garber, and tell him, you're done. Because once again, the Open Cup, it's not just a tournament because it gives those smaller teams an opportunity to knock off the big teams. This is the tournament where all of us as soccer fans, we celebrate the game. We celebrate the game when we have the Open Cup come together. Of course, those clubs that play in MLS will face each other no matter what. Same thing goes for USL Championship. Same thing goes for USL League One. Same thing goes for NPSL, NISA, US Adult Soccer Associations, different leagues under their four separate regions, UPSL. But this is where we all have to say we're coming together to celebrate the game as a whole. And if we can't celebrate the game as a whole, well, then what's the point of having it? What's the point of building all these soccer-specific stadiums? What's the point of making sure that this game has a foothold in the American sports landscape outside of the National Football League, Major League Baseball, the National Basketball Association, and the National Hockey League? We have to tell everyone in this country the sport has made it. We have to come together and tell all the haters, move over, we're coming in, and we are a part of it. I can make room for it, so can you. And that's what the Open Cup is about, celebrating the game while seeing open competition against everyone inside the United States for the Lamar Hunt Trophy, from Thomas R. Dewar to Lamar Hunt and beyond. It's not just those men. It's not just those executives, those head coaches, those sporting directors, those stadium operations people, front office people, ticket sales people, ground crews. It's also us. It's not just the media. It's all of you. All of you who love this game, that we cover the game, that we discuss the game, that we have arguments about the game. What is right? What is wrong? What needs to be fixed? What needs to be remaining? What shouldn't be moved? What shouldn't be changed? What should be changed? Everything evolving and involving the game is what's important here. And everyone needs to understand. That's why the Open Cup is sacrosanct. Because if we lose that, then what's the point of having it in the first place? It's not just because, oh, it's in Europe. It's not just because, well, maybe they have something like this also in South America, or in Africa, or in Asia, or in Mexico, or in Central America, or in the Caribbean. Even up in Canada, we have it here too. It's important, very, very important, that we do not lose sight of what this tournament is all about. We must understand this is important for all of us, and we must make sure it never, ever goes through something like this ever again. Plain and simple. Ladies and gentlemen, got a great show for you tonight as we go ahead and start off here on the 40 Cents Fire American Soccer Show. My first guest, he is very new to the show. He covers Real Salt Lake for Area Sports Network. This is Mr. Carson Lance joining me tonight. Carson, good evening, and how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. So, what's going on over in the Rocky Mountain region over where you are and Real Salt Lake? How's their season been playing so far?
So far, I'm satisfied. I feel like this is one of the best teams we've had in a while, and so I'm pretty satisfied with how things are going. Last week we played Columbus Crew and we draw them 0-0. So I mean, a little disappointed with that game, but yeah, not much is going on here. You know, we're just hanging in there for right now. Hopefully we bring in a center back sooner or later because we don't have any backup center backs right now.
Oh, you have the same problem as some other clubs do, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Well, believe
not fun,
me, center
not
back.
Fun at all.
Yeah. No, it's not fun at all. No, that's the biggest issue, isn't it? You know, it's depth in mostly every position, and hopefully for Salt Lake, they'll find it very soon. I know the transfer window is going to be closing very soon, tomorrow. I don't know what time it will be closing here in MLS for the winter transfer window, but hopefully they can get somebody ready to go, hopefully from the Real Monarchs, and we'll see what happens. I think I've made that mistake. The Monarchs, I think, are the women's team. Your MLS Next Pro team, I should say, getting ready to come up and get some center back help.
No, you were right. The Monarchs is our second team. The women's team is the Royals.
That's right. Thank you very much for correcting me.
You're all good.
Thank you. So, talking about this season so far, what has Pablo Mastroeni done once again to put Real Salt Lake into a positive start into this season? Because currently, the club is in fourth place in the Western Conference at the moment. What have you seen so far from Real Salt Lake that they're going to have a solid year? And, of course, you're right in the pact with the Galaxy, the Whitecaps, and the Dynamo.
What I've seen with Pablo Mastroeni this year is he changed his formation. Last year he was playing like a 4-4-2, 4-2-2-2, you know, and he made that transition that a lot of fans were begging him to use last season, which is the 4-2-3-1 formation. And you know, so far it's worked out. They brought in Matt Crooks from Middlesbrough in England, and he seems to be that guy attacking midfielder. After Pablo Ruiz got hurt. But so far, I'm really liking the tactical transition from Pablo Mastroeni, and I just feel like it helps just bring out the best in Chicho Arango, and it helps to bring out the best in Andres Gomez and Diego Luna to have that middle guy, rather than just relying on two strikers, they have a creative player to play the ball to and distribute. But in the defensive side, I feel like there's been a really good transition other than from last year. Every season, we have a problem with the defense with players getting injured and people being out of form. But then we brought in Alexandros Katronis, and then you know, we had Emeka Anelli playing right back for a little bit. Now Andrew Brody and Bodie Hidalgo are stepping up playing that right back position. And Justin Glad and Brian Vera are holding it down pretty well. And let's not forget Zach McMath, though. Zach McMath is going very under the radar with being one of the best goalkeepers in the MLS this season, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Talking about some of these big-time players, of course, not just Chicho Arango, who's been a wrecking ball for Real Salt Lake with 6 goals and 4 assists. But, you know, you got Diego Luna, who's been tremendous. You got Brian Ojeda. I mean, those two are racking up the assists all over the place. You know, what has it meant to have those two being involved with the attack in Real Salt Lake?
Diego Luna, he just brings that street baller vibe into the Real Salt Lake squad. That's like something I got from him right when we signed him and he made his debut. I really like that He's not afraid to take on anyone. Just, you know, he's a creative young player. He has so much potential. I don't think we've seen the best of him just yet. And then Brian Ojeda is definitely a player that I feel like doesn't get talked as much just because, you know, he's just like, he's there, he does his job, and, you know, he's just, he does what he's got to do, and he's not like a standout player where everyone, like, on the stat sheet, but when it comes to holding down that midfield and stopping the opposition from countering and also being that like second creative player behind the 10, he has done a tremendous job since coming in from Nottingham Forest.
No, absolutely. And that's going to be something special, especially with the way the season is going to be starting here. And hopefully it'll be a good long road to a playoff position. And who knows, maybe they'll contend for that supporter shield, currently in fourth place in the West. And still early, but, you know, we'll see what happens once we get deeper into the summer. And hopefully we won't be losing a lot of players. And you never know, you know, you could be losing Luna to the Olympic squad if you guys get selected for that.
Yeah, I'm not very concerned with that, really. I think that's perfect for his development, is to go out and be for that game. But he definitely has had some competition come up against him in the last couple months and weeks. There's guys coming up out of nowhere, just all in the same position he plays. Like Griffin Yao is a name I can think of. But Luna, I think, just needs to stay focused and these next couple games until the Olympics just needs to just like dig in and just like, don't like, you're young, man, like go out there and ball out.
Exactly. Exactly. From your perspective, Zach McMathew, goalkeeper, how has he been so far at the start of the year? Obviously you got a good couple of wins under your belt here and there, but you know, Has he been solid to start off this season? Nothing's been bothering him at all?
He's been – I like Zach McMath. When we first brought him in, I was a little like, I don't know. Like, I wish we would just play like David Ochoa. Like, but, you know, that all went to crap. And Zach McMath ever since has just been a solid goalkeeper to have ever since Nick Raimondo retired. And looking at this season, the only big mistake he has had is in that first game against Inter Miami, he just let – Robert Taylor's shot just go right under him, and that's the only noticeable mistake I can think of. He's been very good, and without him, I don't know where he would be. You know, Gavin Beavers is a young guy still. He's only 18, and I think Gavin Beavers is just only going to get better from the mentorship of Zach McMath. So McMath is very liked by the fans. We love him here, and I hope he continues having a great season.
Absolutely, and let's hope he continues that good streak moving forward and they can do some damage over there. If you take a look at their schedule right now for like the next couple of games, what worries you about the upcoming schedule for Real Salt Lake? Where do you think you believe they need to improve on their current stretch?
Like, I'm not really worried with their form. You know, they've been undefeated the last four games with two wins, two draws. But, you know, they played a good Columbus Crew side. They played a good – I would say Minnesota is a pretty good – but then what, they got Chicago Fire, the Union are the two next games. We definitely need to go into Chicago and just lay it on them and show no mercy, because, you know, Chicago's definitely a struggling side right now, and we need to build off momentum from that game to battle against the Union. The Union at our great side, and, you know, you never underestimate them. I think we definitely, you know, we've only scored one game in the last two games, so I'm hoping Chicho Arango, you know, steps up once again, but we can't just rely on him all the time. I would love to see Diego Luna jump into the action and be that number one guy like he said he wanted to be before the season started, and I'm still waiting, and I want him to be that guy. And then obviously Andres Gomez is playing lights out, but I just really want to see someone else step up other than Chicho Arango, whether that's Justin Glad. You know, Justin Glad likes to get in the scoring, good scoring form sometimes, whether it's like Brian Ojeda. Like, I want it's kind of hard because last season we played with two strikers and we're transitioning to one striker. So I feel like they're still working on that somewhat. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's the one thing we all hope for, that you get a good stretch of games here, you stay on the positive, and we'll see what happens moving forward here. As we continue on here, Alvar, with Real Salt Lake and just, you know, asking you what's been going on, you know, in your mind, Andres Gomez, what has he done to bolster this attack along with Chicho Arango?
I think Gomez just grew up a little bit from last season, like in his development-wise. You know, last season he was always trying to take on players and then always, like, ended up taking a bad first touch and lost the ball at his feet, and like he didn't like pick out when to pass the ball, like he held on to the ball for too long. And I feel like that's definitely what he has improved this season. It seems like he's a lot more comfortable and has that chemistry with the team, specifically like Chicho Arango. I feel like Chicho's definitely been a great like teacher to him and helping him become a better player. And you know, he's definitely improved on his decision-making a lot, and he looks more confident than ever when taking on a player. You know, he's been tormenting left-backs all season, whether it was Omar Campos or anyone else. But noticeably, that LAFC game comes into mind when you think about teams he's dominated against, because he got a brace against them. But he's improved a lot.
So when we're talking about what's been going on in America at the stadium over there in Salt Lake, I know it's not the Riot anymore. I keep forgetting it's American First Stadium.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pretty good. I've been keeping up on what's going on here. I know everything that goes on in Real Salt Lake. I even know I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep my eye open over there. What's it been like so far over there at the stadium? I mean, look, it's always a dominating crowd. You know, great home field, great atmosphere at the stadium. You know, what has been, like, the best features for, you know, over in Salt Lake City, Sandy area?
Best features? Like, what are you trying to, like,
of the stadium,
what
basically.
Exactly?
Like, what do,
of the stadium?
Like, you know, what to expect. Yeah, of the stadium. Like, what's the best feature of the stadium if you're a visiting fan or even from a hometown's perspective?
For one, like, since when I was a kid and I would go to Real Salt Lake games, since the Blitzer / Smith ownership have taken over, they've definitely added in, like, a lot of, like, cool, like, graffiti art type-looking stuff throughout the stadium. And it just feels like it just is more colorful, and it just looks better than what it used to, and rather than just, like, nothing and be gray. But another feature that – you know, I just think they've improved a lot on trying to make it have a better atmosphere, you know. Like, the atmosphere has always been something that has never really been that, like, scary to play in. But I feel like in the last 2 years, they definitely stepped it up, whether it was, like, the teams walking out and, like, blowing off fireworks and the believe chant, you know. If you believe, like, stand up on your feet. Like, that's always – I think the chant when the game is starting, the believe chant is probably the best feature, I would say, coming from that stadium out in Sandy.
That's fantastic to hear. Carson, I hope one day I can get over there to Salt Lake City and Sandy. I'll give you a buzz, let you know if I do arrive.
Heck,
and
yeah.
Hopefully we'll meet up and we'll definitely have some conversation. But anyway, thank you for your time.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. Good luck with
yeah.
the rest of the season, and I hope to have
yeah.
you back on again soon.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate you just inviting me on and letting me talk. I always enjoy talking Real Salt Lake with anyone. So appreciate
Absolutely.
It, Dan. You have a great rest of your night. Stay in touch.
Absolutely. You as well. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Carson Lance from Area Sportsnet covering Real Salt Lake. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, what an opportunity that Salt Lake has. And it's off to a good start. you know, it's in the middle of the pack at the moment. But, you know, look, they're one of the top clubs in the Western Conference, and hopefully they can keep on going with it, and we'll see what happens. But not if this club has anything to say about it. Of course, once again, talking Minnesota United FC, my good friend of Du Nord, Bruce McGuire, joining me. Bruce, welcome back, and how are you, sir?
Hey, Daniel, how are you, man? I got my slippers on. That's pretty good, right?
Hey, listen, if you're relaxing while on this show, that's fine for me. I want you to be nice and relaxed, my friend.
I'm cozy.
There you go. Absolutely. I hate to do this to you, though, but I guess we're going to have to go with this first. What the hell is going on with Emmanuel Reynoso, and why is he not with Minnesota United FC?
Dude, if I knew that, I'd be rich. You know, I think it's always been about his family. I think it's about his kid. I think it's about his second kid on the way. I think it's about that his girlfriend doesn't like being away from her family, and he doesn't like being away from them. But that's just my theory.
I mean, the point is, you know, he's a professional footballer. He's, you know, if you're going to make a move like this and come somewhere outside your comfort zone, I mean, Minnesota, I don't have to say this to you. You can say this to the audience. For those that are not from the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, I would believe the state of Minnesota would be a perfect place for someone like him to reside and live and, you know, not be so fearful of your life or anything like that, because it's a perfect place to be in, isn't it?
I think Diego Valeri would be a pretty great example to follow. You know, he came from Argentina. He ended up in Portland. He's never going to leave Portland. He loves it. His family loves it. You know, his playing days are behind him. He didn't go back home. He stayed here. And I think the Twin Cities would be a great place for Emmanuel Reynoso to have a family. But, you know, families are strange, man. We know so many people that have so many different relationships with family than I do or you might have that, There's really no way to measure what the draw or the push or the pull or any of those things, what they really are in a family. And you know, the one thing that I look at on the other side is he gets paid a lot of money to be here. And if he's not here, he's not getting that money. So how's he going to help his family on nothing? That's
exactly
a bigger question in my mind. You know?
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely correct, Bruce. And I wish he would just learn and understand, look, you agreed to this deal. You agreed to move to the United States to play in Major League Soccer, play for Minnesota United FC, and he should be here already, and he's not. And, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, if he decides to, or both sides agree to part ways, which I've got a funny feeling it's going to lead to that, then he'll just remain where he is. But the truth is, he made a deal, and him and his agent made, agreed to it. I mean, I don't think it would be a bad thing if, you know, his girlfriend moves with her parents to come over here. That his parents will be fine. They'll come up here too, and they'll live here in the U.S. They'll live in Minnesota. I just think they need to be sold, as it's got to be a hard sell because this is getting ridiculous, Bruce.
Yeah, it's, you know, there was in the Minneapolis newspaper this week, the Star Tribune, John Marthaler wrote about how the first time about 15 months ago when Reynoso didn't show up, there was a lot of confusion, but in the end, when he came back in May, the fans forgave him and everything went fine. Then he shows up late for preseason training, and there was a lot of confusion amongst fans, and he showed up 2 weeks late, and there was a lot of grumbling. And now he vanishes. He goes, you know, I don't know if you know the full story. He went to Argentina to get his green card because you have to go back to the country where your passport is, and you go, you know, you have an appointment with the U.S. Embassy there, and they give you your green card. And that means you're a professional, you're here working, and it allows you to bring family without visas. And he just didn't show up for the appointment. And so
that's terrible.
Right now, you just hear, you know, and again, it's social media, it's things like that, so you take it with a grain of salt, but there's very little sympathy for him right now. You know,
absolutely.
Unlike 15 months ago, there's very little sympathy, and I don't really know what the end game is, but it seems like the team just might move on without him.
I mean, look, I think it was a great bit of, you know, quoting that, or at least the messaging from the club saying, we can't worry about this situation right now. We can only worry about the players we have that are currently on the field and in the locker room right now. And I think that was a great job by the club telling not just the supporters, but, you know, of Minnesota United FC, but to tell the rest of the league, we can't worry about this right now. I mean, yeah, they're going to worry about it. We know that. But still, though, whatever is happening on the field is who they have currently on the roster. And I will say this. I thought it was a great start to the season for Minnesota United FC, for them, Bruce. And I really thought they were doing really well. And bringing over Eric Ramsey from Manchester United was a great get. What's he been like so far, taking over the club full-time as the head coach?
I think it's still way too early to call. At the end of last season, when they no longer had Adrian Heath and they were out on the search for a new director of football, and then that person was going to hire a coach and all those things, you know, and you have your off-season roster moves and all those things, I kind of said to everyone I know, the end of 24 could be a lot worse than the end of 23. I mean, it's totally conceivable that it all goes south.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it happens all the time with many, many, many teams. In the offseason, all they did was fill a few distant holes. They brought in no one who could be a potential starter. You know, they hired a coach several weeks into the season. You know, they're all just getting to terms with it right now. They've been training for a couple of weeks now, and they're doing okay. But the difference between right now and the first couple of weeks of the season is just a couple lucky bounces either way. They could have been horrible those first couple of games. They could have won the last two or three games. The line is so fine. And I think they have a long way to go, and I think they can't wait to get to July for the transfer window. I think that's what they're putting all their effort into behind the scenes. And they're going to do what they can to keep it glued together between now and then with a fresh-faced, young, enthusiastic, well-educated manager.
I have to ask you this, though. The big draw against the Columbus Crew, the defending MLS Cup champions. How about that crazy nutty goal to equalize late in second half stoppage time? I bet you went bonkers on that one.
You know, it's one of those games when you can, you know, you can go home still feeling human, as opposed to why do I follow this team? You know, why do I buy tickets to see this? And those are fun. And then, you know, they beat LAFC 2-0 here. And those things are all great, but in reality, the last 20 home games, they've only won 5. And that's not a great thing.
No.
Yeah, that is not a great thing. And, you know, the last 3 games, they lost, they tied, they lost. And They were close on all 3, but they were not the better team in any of those games. They were the they were the inferior of the 2 teams in all 3 games. Do have a hell of a work effort. There's no doubt about that. I mean, wow, the players are giving it their all. And it's fun, and you can see it. The fans have that enthusiasm because of how hard the players are playing. but they're not good enough. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I understand. What do you make of your sporting director and Mr. Khalid El Ahmad? Do you think he's done a decent job so far to change things up a little bit, even though there's still probably more room to improve?
I mean, they haven't really done anything beyond hire a head coach. You know, like I said, I think everything's going on behind the scenes, and I think they're working towards the summer, and I think that's going to be their goal. They, you know, they signed two or three players from USL Championship. They signed one or two players from foreign leagues, but none of them were outstanding players. They were none of them of pedigree. They were all projects. They're all, well, let's see, maybe. So they have a lot of that beyond the starting 11. But when you get one or two guys injured, one or two guys not playing great, suddenly you're in a hole from kickoff. And that's where they are right now. They're in a hole.
Yeah, very true. I mean, you got four guys right now tied for the club lead with goals with two, Longwain, Laud, Oluwase, and, of course, Timu Pukki. Like you said, you know, it's a work in progress, but you feel confident with those four right now, putting in the balls in the back of the net when they're able to do so?
Well, they can all do it. That's pretty cool. I like that. Robin Lewitt has been the star of the season so far. And not really because of the two goals, but the way he can control a ball, the way he can move the defense. You know, he has a great eye for the right pass. He's patient. He's not flashy at all, but he's one of those guys that every single team would love to have. You know, the guy that people don't talk about, that, you know, that the other coaches and the other real, the people who really dig in and take a look at a team, he's the one that they notice. And for him, he's been playing out of position kind of as a cross between a number 8 and a number 10, but his best position is way up the field on the right hand side, so he can get that ball at his feet and move in with his left foot and curl shots to the back post. That's what he's great at, and you know, the sooner they can get him there full time, the better. But they need pieces around him too. You know, you can't just have one guy that's a secret weapon, because you need actual weapons, not just one secret weapon, to make a team really sing. And
absolutely.
You know, they put a lot of pressure on Houston, you know, in the second half the other night. And I don't want to say they deserve more out of the game than a loss, but the skill just wasn't there. The quality wasn't there. The effort was all there. The energy was all there. But, you know, there's... I tell you where they're going to be between now and, you know, whenever that is in early July when the window opens. I have no idea where they'll be in the standings. I'll be shocked if they're up in the standings. I'll be shocked if they're way up there. But, you know, Minnesota's never had a team that's been a bottom dweller either. Even in those first two seasons when, you know, people talk about how bad they were third or fourth from the bottom both years. It wasn't like they were those awful teams in the league.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you there. They're, at least they're fighting. That's all that matters. I guess finally for me, with your goalkeeper, you know, Dane St. Clair came out of nowhere for Minnesota United FC when he finally got the opportunity to play due to an injury, I understand. But since then, how has he been in net for you guys? I don't think he's done anything wrong to, you know, steer you guys away from, you know, supporting him. But what have you seen from Dane so far that makes you feel confident he'll be there for the rest of his career?
I mean, he's got qualities. He's a pretty good shot stopper. He's had some good luck on penalties. He's got a great attitude. He gets people fired up in the defense. I don't think he knows nearly enough about how to manage a defense, how to help his defense be better. So all he really offers is encouragement and things like that. his real deficiency is distribution. I mean, it's pretty much as bad as anyone I've ever seen in MLS. 2-3 times every single game between, you know, free kicks and goal kicks and punting the ball upfield, it'll just go straight out of play. When he throws the ball out to players, he makes the right decision 75% of the time. But the other 25 can put you in a lot of trouble for a defense. But I think right now the biggest thing is they don't have a goalkeeper coach. I think the last goalkeeper coach was a really old-school English guy who doesn't know the modern game. And he doesn't have any competition pushing him. You know, when he and Tyler Miller were both on the roster, they were both starters, and they pushed each other. And I, you know, we all know teams need players that aren't the regular starter pushing the starter, and they don't have that. Clint Irwin is the backup. Unfortunately, it's way past his sell-by date.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So hopefully we will see some good things happening, and we'll see some better things happening for Minnesota United down the road. And but once again, if it has to come towards the summer transfer window, then so be it. Let's see what happens. But anyway, Bruce, thank you for your time. I always appreciate you coming on the show, and hope to talk more Minnesota United with you once again.
Oh, that would be great. I love talking to you, man. Take care of yourself.
I will, and I love having you on the show.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Bruce McGuire from DuNord talking about Minnesota United FC. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, just great to have my guests on tonight and talking about everything going on with their clubs in the American soccer. Time to review the New York Red Bulls' wins and draw in these last two matches. And first of all, the win at FC Cincinnati, big victory for them. Wow. When you are early and down 1-0 on the road against a damn good FC Cincinnati side, well, let me just say this. You better be ready to go, and you better be ready to find a way to go out there, just steal all 3 points. And that's what they did. And once again, who steps up? What he did, and he goes out there, does a job, and Frankie Amaya comes out of nowhere and he buries the ball and finds a way to go out there and he does the job. Goes out there and does the job, and it's a long-distance shot. Plus, he also won the ball himself. Won the ball, passed it to his two teammates, it got it back from Von Zier, and then bang, 20, 22 yards away. Long-distance bender, Luro couldn't get it, and that was 1-1 right there. Thought we were going to get 2-1 on the penalty attempt by Lewis Morgan, but give former Red Bull 2 goalkeeper Evan Luro, a lot of credit for making the stop on the penalty kick by Lewis Morgan. He probably didn't strike it well enough, but still, though, just good reaction by Luro to stop the penalty, and it was like 1-1 at the half. But it didn't really matter because at the hour marker, here comes Dante Von Zier, who's been pretty damn good so far. 6 assists. And finally scores that goal. Gets a nice ball from Emil Forsberg. Makes a run. Makes a quick stop. Back heels the ball a little bit. Controlled it. Ripped it. And it became 2-1 Red Bulls. And then just some solid, strong defense. And the New York Red Bulls finds a way to go out there. And they steal all 3 points. Just some great stuff there, folks. Great stuff. And then What else? A big victory. And it just goes to show you, when you have the quality of an Emil Forsberg out there in the attack, and granted, he's there to score goals, I understand, but he's also there to support and be a part of the buildup going down the pitch. And he does a brilliant job of it. Now, you want to see more goals out of him, and I think we will. But until then, at the moment, you're happy with what you're seeing so far, and you're happy that everyone's working well, and everyone is going to show why this team has been improving from the start of the season. Got to wait to see when that hiccup comes, but until then, they're doing all right. And now the draw. Very disappointing with the actions of Andreas Reyes. What he did was an absolute no-no. What Andreas Reyes did was something that should never have happened in the first place. You're defending a set piece, I understand. But the way he swung his right arm or his right hand into the face of Salquist, I'm sorry, that is egregious. And VAR called up to tell the referee, change your card from yellow to red, because that's a red card. The only thing they're lucky about with that situation was the free kick was not taken. The ball was not in play. If the ball was in play, that's a penalty and the red card. Because the ball was not delivered and it remained still, that's why the free kick had to be retaken. So they were lucky, very, very lucky, that they were able to not get zonked by their own guy. Let me also say this. I understand Dante Van Zier was upset that he got subbed out and sacrificed to bring in Sean Nealis. You know, what do you want Sandro Schwarz to do? Should he remove one of the midfielders? Probably. But I kind of do understand why he did it. But once again, who put Sandro Schwarz in that position? Andreas Reyes. And if you listen to the podcast that I did with Anthony Merced and JJ Pavlik on the AJM Sports FC podcast, you know, all you can say is that Reyes, when he's right and he's doing well, he does great. But when he does wrong, he really does wrong. Because it's not so much, you know, we've compared him to Matt Miazga, but the thing is this, Miazga, his mouth gets him in trouble. Reyes's actions gets him into deeper trouble. And I don't know how he's not understanding why he can't fix himself. I just don't understand it. It is just unfathomable why Andreas Reyes does not find a way to play a better defensive game. It's ridiculous. If not for Noah Eile and Sean Nealis, that's a loss. That's a major loss, because a fire could do nothing with while up a man. And the New York Red Bulls almost scored late in that match to steal the 3 points. They got the draw. That's good enough. That's fine. But I'm telling you all right now, this is who they have right now on the roster. And when the summer transfer window comes, I try not to get involved with transfer talks, because I just want to let it happen. But if something does pop up, I'll say something. But, you know, I try not to put my own emotions into it. But let me be honest here. If there's a club somewhere in South America or anywhere else in the world that wants Andreas Reyes, I think the Red Bulls should be transferring him out. I'm sorry to say it. I try not to get involved in that sort of stuff, but the truth is he's got to be transferred out. I mean, I bet he's a good kid, but still, though, he's causing too many issues and too many problems. Right now, Reyes, it's not good, and he'll be suspended for the road match at Los Angeles FC this upcoming weekend. When it comes to Peter Stroud, it was a very nasty injury, self-inflicted, unfortunately. It looks like his ankle got twisted on the tackle attempt, and he was walking gingerly and not good. And let me say this right now, I don't expect him to miss out a short period of time. I expect to miss him either a lot or the entire year, because that was horrible. It was very brutal, very gruesome. I'm not going to talk about how bad it was, but I'll tell you right now, it was not that great. Hopefully for Peter Stroud, he'll be back on and ready to go, hopefully for 2025, because I'm telling you right now, I'm not expecting him to come back anytime this year. That's a very devastating injury for him, and hopefully he'll be able to heal up and stay off his foot for a good long period of time. Boot, crutches, walker, I don't care. Just make sure he's not playing. Just make sure he doesn't come back unless the doctors truly advise him that he should be able to come back. So, with that said, the New York Red Bulls will be taking on Los Angeles FC this coming Saturday night at BMO Stadium in downtown Los Angeles. I want to thank my guests tonight. I want to thank Carson Lance from Area Sportsnet covering Real Salt Lake, and of course, Bruce McGuire of DuNord covering Minnesota United FC. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. Join me next week. We're going to have a very special guest to talk about a very special tournament. Once again, thank you very much for joining me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good night. And bye-bye for now. Have a good night, everybody.